You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Widowed Syrian women who are fleeing war zones with their children are ending up in widow camps, where they face chronic violence and their children are exploited and abused. Since the start of the civil war in 2011, nearly 7 million Syrians have been displaced internally, and about 2.8 million are living in an estimated 1,300 camps for internally displaced people in the northwest of the country. World Vision has released a study titled Women and Children of Syria's Widow Camps, Hardest to Reach, Most at Risk, which illustrates the physical and psychological violence that these vulnerable people are facing and the barriers to providing humanitarian aid. I spoke to Grant Baldon, National Director of World Vision New Zealand, about the issue. These women fled to these camps for their perceived safety and because they really had no other options. What conditions are these women and their children facing in these camps?
The report makes really disturbing reading because the women and their children are facing really desperate conditions in the so-called widow camps. What we've got are 28 largely inaccessible camps in the northwest of Syria, the Idlib region, which is controlled by an opposition government there. So tens of thousands of women and children. Most of them are short of food, don't have reliable access to it. Most of them have faced very, very difficult things, and there's very little support for them. So that includes practical things like food, of course, proper shelter and services, but also the other things that they need, especially those who face very traumatic things through the war there and the violence. So thinking about mental health support for the women, safe spaces for the children, things like that.
Specifically talking about children, the report shows high levels of violence and exploitation as well as child labour and child marriage. How does this prolonged treatment follow these children for the rest of their lives?
That's right. We've got over half of the children surveyed involved in child labour. And a lot of violence against children. Half of the girls reported physical abuse there. And, you know, as we see here, it's hard enough for children who face traumatic things here, traumatic family situations, you know, that stays with people for the rest of their lives. But these conditions are really something else, where it may be not happening just in their own family, but around them. They're often places that are extremely unsafe, where there's a lot of violence. So that's one area around their current conditions, but also often those children have seen really terrible things from the war there. So we know that post-traumatic stress is an issue for children there, and that you know, really takes a lot of support to help children get over that and to go on to get past that in their lives. But also the issue of food. There's a lot of problems with food insecurity there, and as we know, it's so important for children to get proper nutrition. Stunting can be a lifelong thing if children don't get proper nutrition when they're young.
And what happens if these women and children speak out about the abuse?
We do know that the security situation there is very difficult, and that you know, it can be very tense politically there. So I would expect that, as we have seen in other parts of the country, that often it's difficult for women to speak out. Often they've gone to these camps because they feel unsafe themselves, or because they feel they have no other place to go. Many of them have either been widowed through the war, or their husbands are missing. Some are divorced or separated. And there's a degree of shame and vulnerability that many of them feel. What we're seeing is the very people who, of course, most should be cared for and protected the most, who are in positions in that culture and that society where they're the most vulnerable, are actually really not being cared for and looked after, which is why we're calling for opening up of humanitarian access, access for international NGOs to work with those people.
So there are very strict restrictions on who can leave the camps, why someone can leave, and for how long. What does this mean for women and children in the camps in terms of education, employment, or access to other essential services?
That's right. As you'd expect, it means it's very difficult for women to earn an income, to work. It's very difficult to access the sort of basic services that everyone should have access to. And of course, the restrictions on movement are really a breach of the basic human rights of the children and the women in those places. Everyone needs to be free to move around. There's no reason for them to be confined and constrained. There's certainly no legal reason for that. So it's really important that the opposition government there allows freedom for those people.
Why do we know so little about what is occurring in these camps, and what are some of the barriers to providing humanitarian relief?
Yeah, and that's a very good question. It's really been completely under the radar. One of the reasons we know so little is that access hasn't been provided. So this is the area of northwestern Syria, Idlib, that's hard up against the Turkish border, which has been slammed shut on people who've been trying to flee the fighting. It's been an area where there's been a lot of conflict, where there's an opposition government in place, and where, frankly, international organisations just haven't been able to get, media hasn't been able to get. And so up until now, the story largely hasn't got out of what's going on there. As they say, sunlight is the best disinfectant, and that's one of the reasons World Vision has done this report and the survey, is to bring the story to the world's attention and to say that we need to work on this. We need to open up access. We need freedom for the people there, and they need a lot of practical support for their lives right now.
What other recommendations has your report made about what the international community needs to do in terms of sending humanitarian aid or donations, etc.?
One of the things that World Vision is always very focused on is the well-being of the children, and something that we use in many other areas of refugee camps and conflicts, including in and around Syria where we're working, for child-friendly spaces. Those are safe spaces where children can come together, where there will be some kind of adult support and supervision, where the children can play and really just be children again, because these places can be quite hostile and quite desperate for children. But it gives them a space where they can help to work through what's happened to them, the place that they're in. Often there's some teaching and education happens in those places, games, learning, the chance to talk in group situations about what they've faced. So that's one of the things that we're really wanting to see there, as well as mental health support for the women.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.